This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
Whatever your tastes, you'll find it weeknights on Joy 94.9. Something for everybody.
Do you want to hold your own in a sports conversation? Get a better pub quiz score? Or just like the sound of two boys talking about ball sports? Then join Ben and Rolly in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, Melbourne, and welcome into the locker room on Joy 94.9, your show for news, views and interviews about sport and, of course, our community. Thanks to Michael and Glenn from the Royal Daltons for bringing us home on this very, very wet night. It was a bit of a pool out there. Thanks also to Gary Wilson and a new newsreader, Benny B. I was going to attempt my South African accent, but I can't. My China.
Benny B?
Benny B. Oh, that's probably more a Kiwi thing. Of course, at the Joy News Desk, you won't be hearing those guys again until the morning. So sit tight and you'll be listening to the smooth sounding voices of Michael Smith and Adam and myself. Of course, in the locker room, we bring you the latest about what's happening in the world of sport, both here and around the globe from a queer perspective. Good evening, lads.
I like being called smooth. This is nice.
Smooth.
I wonder if I need to deepen my voice a little.
Exactly right. So what have we got on the show tonight, Smithy?
We're going to talk rugby. Melbourne's the centre of the gay rugby universe this weekend with the Purchase Cup, which is the Australian Gay Rugby Championships between the Melbourne Chargers, the Brisbane Hustlers and, of course, the Sydney Convicts.
So there's going to be like 100 really hot and cute rugby players running around an oval somewhere this weekend?
Yeah, they'll be the ones from Sydney and Brisbane, I think. So that's going to be fantastic.
They'll also be slightly attractive and not so slightly attractive men running around, like myself.
So when I just think of rugby players running around, it's just, you know.
Oh, well, there you go.
That's enough for you.
What else we got, Smithy?
We've got the occasional and highly editorialising segment, Smithy's Thought. That's making a return.
Oh, it's like an Alan Jones thing, isn't it? Where you're going to stick something in a chaff bag or throw it over the bridge or...
My voice is going to go up a few octaves every time, you know.
Right. No yelling.
We're going to take a look at what's happening in the NRL and AFL finals. We're going to fill you in with what's going to come up this week in sport as well.
Now I think it's time for a roundup. Going over to the UK now, the Professional Footballers Association has offered its support to a campaign that is designed to tackle homophobia in football by inviting players across England and Scotland to wear rainbow laces in their boots this weekend. Don't know, Smithy, how long they'll last in the mud, but anyway, laces have been sent to all 92 Premier League and Football League clubs, as well as 42 professional teams in Scotland by gay rights charity Stonewall. The target of the Right Behind Gay Footballers campaign is to change attitudes within the national game. According to Stonewall, 7 in 10 football fans who attended matches have heard or witnessed homophobia on the tenant terraces. Well, what about you, Smith? Have you heard a bit of homophobia up there in the... What do you sit in the Z level at the G?
That was the time I took you. I just wanted to bring you right up to the top.
Oh, yeah, righto.
Look, I must admit I don't hear terribly much these days. It's pretty... It's pretty family friendly. The most abuse is usually being held by my old man. He's sitting next to me, so.
Oh, yeah, I know. Old men, they need to get on with it. Hey, look, I suppose one thing that Stonewall mentioned, there's over 5,000 players in professional clubs, and there's not one gay player. So I suppose part of this, well, there was Robbie Rogers, technically, but then he quit, didn't he?
Yeah.
So.
It's hard to believe, isn't it? Especially when you look at soccer players and how they behave when they cop the merest knock on the field.
Well, yeah, exactly right. So,
Are we still waiting for a soccer player to come out, like an active playing soccer player?
Well, Ben Rogers was. Was it Ben Rogers? Yeah.
Robbie Rogers.
Ben Rogers. There's too many Bens around the place.
But he came out after his career, correct?
No, he came out when he was 22 and then he left straight away.
And then he went to America.
Right. So, look, I suppose at the end of the day, what is it? If you've got 5,000 players, what do they say, 1 in 10 or 1 in 20? Could possibly be playing for the same side. That could be 500 players. It's hopefully my math.
Although, Rolly, I understand the response has not really been clubs flooding to get reams and reams of rainbow laces. So I think Stonewall have got their work cut out for them.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have to go and find your boots, and then you have to pull the laces out, and then you have to replace them with rainbow lace. I mean, it's pretty hard, so, you know, we'll give them that excuse. Ben Cohen, British rugby veteran and prominent gay rights advocate, Ben Cohen planned to make his reality television debut extra memorable by giving it a same-sex twist.
Oh, is there nothing this man doesn't do?
I know.
He's just so wonderful.
And he's married, isn't he? He's got a wife.
I believe he's heterosexual.
Oh, brilliant. Yeah. And he's you know, getting out there.
He's on our side.
When he was plucked for the 11th season of BBC's smash series Strictly Come Dancing, and for Australian viewers who can't see the alignment, that would be our Dancing with the Stars. Cohen, who is married with children, said he considered a male dance partner. However, the BBC didn't really sort of go for that.
Gee whiz, I wonder why.
No, I think our Dancing for the Stars starts shortly. I don't know if there's any sports people on it, is there?
I've got no idea, because I was watching the promo the other night and the only person I knew was Tina Arena. Everyone else, there were these modelling twins and this magician, and I don't even know if you classify them as celebrities anymore.
Oh, you just scraped the bottom of the barrel. Look, he said, I have no qualms dancing with a woman or a man. Cohen is quoted as saying to The Mirror, which is a quality newspaper, And Cohen, who has garnered a sizable gay following after steamy underwear ads and a calendar shoots, added, I like to break down the stereotypes.
And so, we like to see him break down stereotypes too, if that's what it involves.
And for those of you who haven't heard about Ben Cohen before, he started the Stand Up Foundation, which is focused on combating homophobia and bullying among lesbian, gay, bisexual and transgender youth in 2011. So he's a pretty special kind of person.
I guess if you've played a lot of rugby union, you are used to kind of physical intimacy with other men. So yeah. Maybe dancing with another man is sort of like, yeah, whatever.
I like what he said to the Huffington Post. If men find me attractive, that's fair enough. He said, at the time, I'm very comfortable with my sexuality and I'm honoured and flattered by it, and it's lovely to hear so many gay people follow me. So how cool is that? I know. Soccer. Look, there's a little bit going on at the moment. I don't quite understand. You may be able to fill us in, Smithy. All this match-fixing scandal. We've had another couple of people arrested in Queensland after the four were arrested in Victoria. Police have arrested 8 players and the Southern Stars coach on Sunday. So they're from Victoria, along with a middleman who's alleged to have communicated between players and one of the world's most prolific match fixtures, Wilson Raj Pumal. So this is kind of weird. People in Pakistan, India are betting on like third grade soccer in Victoria.
Yeah, well, the general rule with match fixing is that the more meaningless the contest, the more likely it is to be fixed.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, the players are much more corruptible at that level. So that's why it happens. It's very interesting. When the whole Essendon drugs in sports scandal broke, it was an Australian Crime Commission report that actually said organised crime is infiltrating sport. And one of the things that they drew attention to was match fixing. So it's sort of coming to the surface that these are the allegations.
It's crazy. It's sort of crazy how vulnerable we actually are here in Australia, and it's probably going on all over the place and we have no idea. But
yeah, and we all find out about it later and realise we've been taken for mugs.
Of interest, in February, the European Union's law enforcement agency Europol released a report that found that 425 match officials, club officials, players and serious criminals from more than 15 countries were suspected of being involved in attempts to fix more than 380 professional football matches. So it's pretty huge. So,
continue. Especially when it says serious criminals. We're not just talking about people that steal TVs. These are the ones that steal widescreen TVs.
Yeah, I know. These are serious. Yeah, no, they're taking it seriously. Soccer World Cup, Football Federation Australian Chief Frank Lowy. So he's also the guy that runs Westfields, isn't he?
Yeah.
Kind of weird, but anyway. He's a bit like Rupert Murdoch, very old, just still cruising along. Yep. Has demanded World Soccer's governing body, FIFA, pay back the $43 million of Australian taxpayer money that was wasted in our futile bid for the World Cup, which was, of course, given to Qatar, where it's 44 degrees in the summer when they're wanting to play soccer.
Yeah, but they're going to air condition the stadiums. I mean, I don't understand how someone who rises to such wealth that he owns the Westfield Shopping Centre brand is so naive as to think that FIFA are going to pay his money back just because FIFA were corrupt. I mean, everyone knows FIFA were corrupt from the start. Well, it can't have come as a surprise to everyone involved that it was not exactly an above-board process.
Well, what I love is because Australia was one of the first contenders that was eliminated, of course.
One vote.
With one vote. So it was like, they didn't get to the second or third round.
We was
voting.
Robbed.
No.
Say it ain't so.
Ricky Nixon. Disgraced former AFL player Ricky Nixon has again thumbed his nose at authority by posting photographs on his Facebook page taken from outside the Magistrates Court. Let's just have a listen to what Ricky was doing in court this week.
Back in court again.
Look, I've just got one thing to say, one thing only.
But it appeared more of a comedy act for Ricky Nixon.
I'm very relieved and happy that I haven't been implicated in the soccer fiasco this morning. Toot toot.
The man who calls himself the Chicken Train will spend 12 months using public transport. The former player agent was fined $750 and lost his license after pleading guilty to drink driving while on a conditional license.
Smithy, doesn't seem to end for Ricky Nixon, so I don't understand. What's this toot toot? Do you know? I don't understand why you would come out and say that.
I have no idea, but he's just the gift that keeps on giving, isn't he?
Well, I suppose one bit of research that I did, he calls himself the Chicken Train. So he's got a comedy show called The Chicken Train, and he's also got a YouTube following where he says toot toot at the end of everything. So
right.
He's had an incredible change of career.
Oh, I see. The toot toot is the train.
Is
he auditioning?
I thought it'd be woo woo rather than toot toot.
That was way too highbrow for me. I totally missed that.
That was Rolly's Roundup. You're in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
You're inside the locker room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
We don't usually do requests on the locker room, but that was Avicii Levels for Aaron's 29th birthday. So happy birthday, Aaron, from us and the crew at the locker room. The Melbourne Chargers are moving from the locker room to the stage in their first public performance. Melbourne's only gay rugby team are training for a different game, one that you'll really want to see. Your usual ruck, line-out and try will be there, but with a difference. The boys have begun their Bingham Cup 2014 campaign and look forward to all the hard work it will take competing against 30-plus gay rugby teams around the world in Sydney next year. But looking closer to the time, they'll be playing the Purchase Cup this weekend, which is... I'll actually let the players tell me about it, what it is. We've got Sam Minter, the club president, and new player Ben, who will also be participating in the flesh, which he's going to tell me more about. Sam, tell us, what is Purchase Cup and a little bit of the history around it?
Hi, fellas. The Purchase Cup is the Australian Gay Rugby Championships. It's been held for a few years now. Last year we had the Hustlers from Brisbane and the Convicts from Sydney. We're all up in Brisbane. This year we're hosting it in Melbourne out at Harlequin Rugby Club. And there will be a fourth team, which will be the Melbourne Barbarians, made up of a composite of Convicts and Hustlers and Chargers.
And so how long has it been going for?
So the first Purchase Cup was, I think, 2004, which was Sydney versus Brisbane, as both teams were preparing for Bingham Cup. Then Brisbane and Sydney again, and we hosted the Convicts, I think, in 2010, in our first year of comp.
Yeah.
And again in 2011, but now it's grown as has the, the incidence of gay rugby in Australia.
So I'm assuming it's a Saturday. How do you think the Melbourne team is going to go against the rest of Australia?
Yeah, it is indeed Saturday. So it's again at Ashwood Reserve in Harlequins Rugby Club on Saturday, starting at 10:30. Look, we've been training pretty hard for the last couple of months. We've got some really good coaching resources on board. We're very fortunate to have the ex-state coach, Mitch Canning, helping us out, as well as our coach, Neil Hay. The guys are pretty much ready for the tournament, I think. And we should do well. Our first game's against Brisbane at 10:30. We expect to give them a good showing.
Ben, this is your first year as a rugby player. What inspired you to pull on the boots?
I just sort of met someone that was already on the team, and he said, come along to training, so I did. And
It
was a boyfriend. And I don't know, a lot of people just said, yeah, keep coming back, you'll pick up, how to pass a ball and stuff like that. And I picked it up rather quickly, and then after summer, we did touch during summer, and then I decided to join the Chargers this year, just to meet new people and stuff.
So what do you find the greatest thing about being part of a gay sports team? So, I mean, moving just away from rugby, what is good about getting involved in sport in our community?
I think just the difference of it all, really, because everyone's saying, oh, they play a sport, but we play a sport where we never really had much of a chance to play a sport in high school, well, most of us, like me. And it's good to have a chance to play a sport competitively as a representative for Melbourne, especially national and international next year.
I think a lot of gay guys sort of shy away from sports, and particularly in high school and after high school. I think it deters them from senior sport, not feeling like they'll fit in. And it's a common story, you know, coming from the convicts. A lot of their players return to rugby, given the opportunity to play around guys who had a similar background, sort of common way of thinking that they enjoyed socialising with. It sort of adds another dimension to the sporting proposition.
Yeah, and Sam, can you tell us a bit about the Chargers season this year? What's been happening on the field for them?
Yeah, so we've had a bit of a tough season domestically. So a lot of the players we're playing against are ex-first graders, ex-second graders and stuff. So it's a bit tough tough domestically. But we had a really good tour to Sydney. We travelled up to Sydney to play the Convicts third grade side. We had a good win against them.
Well, we won.
We had a good win against them. Wow. Yeah, you're our star lineup jumper. But you know, it was a that was a good win, and we're expecting to perform pretty well in Purchase. I mean, even though we've taken some losses during the season, I think the guys are still pretty up. I mean, we've got, you know, like I say, good coaches, and everyone is just having a really good time learning. I think the important thing is that everyone's learning, having fun, getting to know each other, and the results are kind of less important.
Sounds pretty exclusive. Are there any room for new people that may want to join?
Yes, absolutely. So we're hoping to take two squads to Sydney next year for Bingham Cup.
Wow. Big's a squad?
So a squad at Bingham Cup will be 25 players. So ideally
50? Jeez.
50 players, yeah.
That's credible.
So, I mean, we're
ambition from the Melbourne Chargers president.
I like it.
A bit of vision. This is good stuff.
Yes, I mean, we're encouraged by Rugby 101 this year. We had about, 20 guys come along who had never played the game before. And we've kept a couple of those this year.
So, Sam, you've actually travelled playing rugby. Is that right?
Me, yeah. I've been to 5 Bingham Cups, I think. Wow. First one in London, then New York, Dublin, Minneapolis and Manchester.
Any other tournaments other than Bingham?
Only Purchase Cup. Oh, actually, no. Last year I was at... earlier this year I was in Chicago. Our sister club is the Boston Ironsides, and they had a side in a tournament called Combustion in Chicago, which is the sort of the Midwest tournament. There are eight sides from Ottawa and Minneapolis and a few other sides. That was a lot of fun.
It's kind of cool. You can combine your two loves, sport and travel.
And
travel around the world drinking and playing sport.
Which and meeting social people. Life as well.
And meeting people. That's right. Yeah, doing that as well, yeah. I suppose.
I'm sure it has something to do with it.
There is a reason we've got you in tonight, something about being in the flesh. So what's this involve?
Actually, I might throw to Ben, who can tell us about the show he's actually going to be participating.
Okay, right. In the Flesh is a show that Bumper Love, the drag queen of the Chargers, is organising, just as a little after party for Purchase.
So Chargers have their own drag queen?
Yes.
How cool is that?
Doesn't every gay rugby team?
Oh, yeah, all right.
Well, I think they should. If they don't, they should be getting one right now.
She's also the vice president for the Chargers. So she has a very good role in it.
Okay, but, so she's choreographing. Is that even the right... I can't speak.
Organising.
So, choreographing.
Choreographing the show. All right. So, I keep interrupting. So what's going on?
So we've been rehearsing for it for the past 4 weeks.
Mm.
And it's been intense. Yeah. We've only just started taking our clothes off at rehearsals last night.
Oh.
So we're getting organised.
Yeah.
Sure, as a bunch of rugby players, you're kind of used to just taking your clothes off around each other, though. That's not really...
Yeah, but we've been shy when we're in each other's lounge rooms getting ready for it.
In the shower, you've got something to do.
I just noticed your voice. Your voice just got very smooth just then, Smithy. It got very monotone. Ooh, you're getting your clothes off.
Well, that's
very
voice
smooth.
Back.
So, all right. So, anyway, we've got this In the Flesh. Where is it?
It's at Circuit on Smith Street.
On Smith Street. I like it. And that would be the 86 tram, I assume.
Yeah, to Bundoora.
At Bundoora. Down there at Circuit.
And there's pre-sale tickets available.
$25.
$25
on
through our website. Or through our Facebook page.
Oh, okay, fantastic.
And you can also buy them at the door for $30.
I heard something about an underwear show. Is that a rumor, or is that true?
No, that's true. There will be a warm-up show, which would be an underwear show.
A warm-up show.
Yeah.
And we'll be boasting Hung's finest underwear.
Hungs. I haven't. You've got a pair of Hungs, haven't you, Adam? I think. Yeah, he's just nodding away there. He's anyway. Okay. Well, no, that sounds really great, guys. So, hey, you're not going to get too injured on Saturday. You'll be in good shape to get up there on the stage.
It'll be all part of the show, really. A few bumps and bruises will be good.
I've been a part of two Rugger Bugger shows, which is the convicts thing, and it's not uncommon to see guys, you know, with a few bruises.
Rugger Bugger?
Yeah.
Well, what's that?
The Sydney convicts do a strip show called Rugger Bugger.
Oh, so Chargers have In the Flesh, and the Sydney side has Rugger Bugger.
But yeah, ours is going to be better.
Yeah, ours is definitely going to be better, I'd have to say.
The first catwalk show starts at 10:30, and the actual full Monty strip show is at 12.
Oh, sounds awesome. Look, we'll have to all get down there and have a drink with you guys. It sounds fantastic. So we've got the Chargers playing the other three teams, the Barbarians, Sydney, and, of course, Brisbane.
And they'll all be out in the flesh as well, so you'll have about 80 gay rugby players.
So you don't have to be bored with Melbourne.
This show
just
sells itself, doesn't it, really? You've got strip shows, you've got gay rugby players hanging out.
Exactly right.
Normally, ladies can't get into circuit on a Saturday night, but... Is that the deal?
No, Smithy, it's mixed on Saturday night.
Well, there you go.
So bring the ladies as well.
Bring the ladies as well.
Thanks, guys, for joining us in the locker room tonight. It sounds like an awesome event.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us on.
You're on Joy 94.9.
The Locker Room. Come in and get changed. Sports news, views and interviews for our community. Joy 94.9.
Thank you very much to Sam and Ben from the Chargers for coming in. My goodness, this show's going off the hook.
We're going to go through to... Haven't you done an editorial, Smithy?
Well, I have.
I'm a bit worried about this.
Why?
Well, I'm just wondering how... If you're not going to go off half-cocked or something, are you?
No.
Oh, good. I don't know if you're allowed to say that word on radio, are you? Is that an after-seven word?
My opinions are perfectly formed, and this is another perfectly formed opinion.
All right, hit me with it.
I want to talk about the men in white, or, you know, that's what we used to know them in AFL. We talk about referees. No, we talk about referees and umpires.
Are they in white? I thought they were always in pink or
something. Well, they used to wear white back in the day when I was a kid.
Yeah, it used to be a nice brim hat, nice coat,
yeah, big
white
lab
pants.
Coat.
Yep. Yeah, what is with the lab coat in AFL? I never understood
Yeah, well,
that.
It's gone the way of many, many great AFL institutions, I'm afraid. Now they wear these bright fluoro numbers, form-fitting with little caps.
I went to Auskicks, and there was a whole bunch of people running around in lab coats. It was kind of strange.
Yeah, that's retro style.
Oh, okay.
But look, umpire is a bit of a hot issue at the moment. Look, I was at the VAU finals on the weekend, which is the community rugby here in Melbourne, and the referees were all presented with a whistle after the game, you know, to mark the occasion. That was very nice.
Oh.
But no one else really in the crowd really thought that they were doing anything nice. It was this torrent of, well, helpful comments and abuse from the sidelines about every missed call. And, you know, rugby union has so many laws, they have to have a special app to, like, categorise them all in. It's a damn hard game to referee. Mm. And, you know, what we're seeing is this sort of cancer in our sport of persistent and unreasonable criticism of match officials. They've got a tough job to do, and I don't think anyone's helping. And it starts right at the top.
Did you know that I was a rugby referee once? I decided to quit playing rugby, and I refereed for 2 years. And I remember somebody swore at me one day, so I walked off the field and got in my car and drove home, and that was the end of my career.
And this is precisely the point.
Put up with it, yeah.
Yeah, this is precisely the point.
Because they don't get paid, do they?
Well, no, you do get paid a little bit, but you don't get paid to be abused. And that's the problem. You get absolutely slammed. And it happened on the weekend, the NRL game between Cronulla and the North Queensland Cowboys.
Oh, yeah, they were robbed again.
And
big conspiracy.
Well, that was very controversial, wasn't it?
Well, it was. And you're supposed to have six tackles and turn it over. And that try was scored on the seventh tackle, and it was all very terrible. And North Queensland have gone to the point of alleging that not only was that just a blunder by the referees, but that it's a conspiracy to prevent non-Sydney teams playing in the finals of the National Rugby League. That's how far this goes. I mean, haven't these guys heard of the idea that your choice has been a conspiracy and a stuff-up? You know, the stuff-up wins every time. It's just a stuff-up.
Oh, but having an all-Sydney final, that's worth a lot of money, though, isn't it?
When you actually look at the stat sheet, the official stat sheet says the Cowboys made 9 errors during the game. So that's 9 errors to the Cowboys, 1 error to the referee. You know, who do you think is actually responsible for the Cowboys losing the game? It's the Cowboys, not the referee. And I'm tired of hearing this kind of endless muckraking and excuse-making by losing teams. It's simply not acceptable.
But it was a second year in a row for the North Queensland Cowboys, was it not?
Well, you know, like, they've just got to get over it. And they've got to realise that umpiring and refereeing is just one thing you can't control, like the weather and like the way the oval-shaped ball bounces on the ground in a tight situation.
Well, can I ask, because on the idea of referees, you know, this year they've introduced the video referee to AFL. Is that getting on your nerves too, or is that something that you applaud that they've done?
Well, I think it's, you know, you have to use the technology that's there. But all we've seen with video refereeing is, well, even more complaining about the way the video referee is being applied in a particular circumstance. And again, more excuse making from people. We've seen Leighton Hewitt, you know, throw his toys out of the pram when he doesn't like a line call. We've seen the Australians blame a 3-0 Ashes drubbing on one catch that, you know, was taken at slip and that wasn't called out by an umpire because they thought he nicked it. And, you know, this is sort of endless excuse making by these professional athletes who make hundreds of decisions in a game themselves, many of which were wrong.
Is it because money's involved now a bit more than it used to be? Like, I mean, I know money's always been involved, but one of those decisions could mean, you know, $1 million payout, or, you know, or a player's career, or, I mean, is that what's happened? Because it's financial that's involved, that...
Yeah, but where does whinging get you? I mean, for all the whinging that North Queensland are doing, nothing's changed. We've had this bizarre spectacle where the NRL has sort of apologised to them, but they still don't get to play next week. I mean, why not actually teach some kids some proper values and turn around and say, well, look, the decision was made and we've just got to cop it sweet. We've got to, you know, take our medicine and be even better next year so that it doesn't matter if there's a poor refereeing decision, we still will have won the game. And I think that's the mental approach you have to take into this, rather than this endless culture of blame. I think it's disgraceful.
Is it not a matter of senior management just saying, look to the umpires, anybody who back chats or bad mouths, just send them off?
Yeah, I think so.
Absolutely.
Straight away, zero tolerance for this. And look, it is a problem. The AFL umpires coach Jeff Geeshan has said repeatedly that abuse from spectators is actually stopping people wanting to be AFL umpires. And there is a shortage of umpires at the grassroots level in Australian sport. What he said is that we get people, we draft them in, we train them up, and then because the match day experience is so bad that after a few games they walk away, just like you did, Riley. And you know, that's just a tragedy.
Well, you know, you can never... I don't see how people even volunteer to ref, to be honest. I'm thanking them, and I think they do a fantastic job, but I don't know if I could be bothered putting up with the abuse or being told what to do. Yeah. You're giving up your own time. Jeez, I've got better things to do. I could be down at IKEA doing shopping or something. Anyway, that was your editorial for this week. I like that. We might do another one next week.
Really? Thank you so much.
No, well, I'll give you the permission.
You're inside the... I don't know where you are at the moment. Where are we? We're inside the locker room, aren't we?
We're on Joy 94.9.
The Locker Room with Ben and Rolly on Joy 94.9.
And you're in the locker room. We've had a couple of messages in so far. Locker Room, when are we going to hear about our favourite roller derby league, VRDL, and their trip to the US for the playoffs? Well, we've had the roller derby league on a couple of times, and
I think it's about time we went back there.
Yeah, I think we did. I think I was called 10 ton Rolly, which I found really inappropriate because I don't weigh 10 tons. So, and I think when Ben Lankin used to be here, they used something about Tonka Truck Lankin or something. So, because you've got to have your special name. So it'd be really good now that you're on now, Smithy and Adam, to get your roller derby name. So we need some help from them, of course, to get those.
Is that the equivalent of a drag name?
Sort of. I think you take your mother's, you know, maiden name and then mix it with your first cat's name or something, and you usually get something.
I never had a cat.
I feel like I should give you some tears. Smithy, I can just see your face going to beam. I loved Smithy's editorial. Can't wait for next week. Bo from Paran. Is that your brother?
I've never heard of Bo from Paran, but I like his stuff.
Well, Bo, if you've got a suggestion for the editorial, you're always more than welcome to contact us at lockerroom@joy.org.au. And of course, if the listener regarding the roller derby wants to get involved, or you think of a story or an editorial subject that you think would be great during the week, of course, just contact us at lockerroom@joy.org.au. And if you want to talk to us now, you can contact us on air@joy.org.au or SMS on 0427JOY. 949. So AFL, Smithy, finals next week, so we're getting basically to the crunch now. We're going to sort out the winners from the losers, the men from the boys. I don't know another saying.
Yeah, but it is the business end of the season. There's no doubt about that. It's preliminary final weekend, which means that we're just down to the last four teams playing off for a spot in the grand final in the last Saturday in September. So I just got as many cliches as I could in there. I think that's pretty good.
So Hawthorn Geelong, is it?
Yeah, that's right. And that'll be an interesting one on the Friday night, because Hawthorn have lost to Geelong 11 times in a row.
Oh, so this is beating the Kennett curse, is that right?
That's right. Since beating the Cats in the 2008 grand final, when Jeff Kennett said that, you know, Geelong were mentally weak, and Geelong resolved after that game never to lose them ever again. It's been 11 wins in a row for the Cats. So
that's pretty interesting.
Yeah. But look, the Cats are kind of looking a bit battered. They've had a couple of pretty narrow wins. They're going to be out without their one of their star players, Tom Chapman, who is Paul Chapman, rather, who is out for a nasty head-high bump. He's been given a week off by the AFL match review panel. So, look, all logic says Hawthorn will win. Like, they've had a week off. They've been in better form all year. They've had an easier run to this point, really. But, you know, the emotion says, look, the Cats have got some kind of mental hold over them.
I was, I must admit, I was actually slightly barracking for Carlton on Saturday against Sydney. There was something wrong with the ground there or something. I don't know.
Yeah, it's renowned. It's the Olympic Stadium in Sydney, and it's renowned as the worst surface in the league because the ground is used as a rectangular field for rugby league and rugby union as well. And then they extend the seats back and they put some sort of temporary grass in, and it's just the players were just slipping over left, right, and centre. It's a real scandal, actually.
So what are the other grounds that are in Sydney? You've got SCOTA and SCG. Were they not available?
Well, the SCG is under redevelopment, It has a limited capacity. And I think there's an agreement that they'll play all the finals at the Olympic Stadium at the moment. So that's where the game had to be played.
Well, there you go. So just thinking about it, we're getting into the top four. I don't think there was even a point having a top eight, was there? We should have just kicked straight into the top four and not worried
about it. Well, it seems to happen every year that the bottom four sides of the top eight crash out after the first couple of weeks, and we're left with the same top four teams after two rounds of finals, and we all scratch our heads and wonder why we ever bothered. Since this particular final system was introduced in 2000, it's only happened twice that the teams in the top four haven't all ended up playing off in the last two games for the grand final.
So it's a money thing, isn't it?
It is. I think it's just dragging it out.
Is Collingwood still falling apart?
Look, they've gone to ground a little bit. We haven't heard so much out of Collingwood. Port Adelaide would be pretty devastated, I think, having lost a close one to Geelong.
Koshy and Sam Armitage were having to dress up as Geelong supporters on Sunrise and, of course, sing the Geelong song.
Is that right? I must have missed that.
Oh, yeah, it was kind of interesting, Koshy.
Of course, the other big game is Saturday night, and that's Fremantle taking on Sydney at Patterson Stadium in Perth.
Dockers never won before, have they?
They've never won a premiership before, but they've only been in the competition for 20 years.
20 years?
Yeah, we've got to give them fair run up at it.
So what do you think? Do you think they've got a potential to take it?
Well, what's interesting about this game is that the Swans are the absolute walking wounded. They've got a bunch of players out through injury, but they've won their last four games in Perth, which is no mean feat. It's the toughest road trip in AFL, and they've been excellent there, and they've got a fantastic midfield who's all fit and raring to go.
So where will they be playing? Subiaco?
Yeah, that's right.
And what's the surface any good? Going to slip over?
It's the best surface in the AFL because it's in Perth.
Oh, well, that's it.
They have nice weather over there.
Sorry to change the subject slightly, but I watched the Wallabies play the Pumas, and I have never been so embarrassed by a spectator's turning up to a ground.
Yeah.
The seats were all empty, and some said, oh, it's because it was raining, but if you'd paid $200 for a seat, you would have turned up, whether it was rain, hail, or shine.
They're probably saving themselves for Dockers versus Sydney the following week.
Oh, you think so?
Absolutely.
Very, very interesting. So what time will that game be on?
That's on, I think, at about 6 o'clock on Saturday night in Perth time, so about 8 o'clock here.
Oh, that'd be quite good. You can watch it over dinner.
Oh, look, it's going to be a ripper clash. And, of course, the winners of those two games will be in the grand final next week here in Melbourne.
Are you going to any of them?
I'll be going to the grand final. I go to the grand final every year.
Oh, wow. How spectacular.
I know, aren't I clever?
So who will you be hoping for a grand final?
Look, I think I'd like to see Hawthorn get up. I think it's time for someone else to have a chance, and I don't think the Dockers are going to get over Sydney. I think the Swans might actually cause an upset over in the West. So we'll
really?
See. Yep.
Can I disagree with you? Because Fremantle's always been strong at home.
Yeah, look, no doubt about that. I just think the Swans have got a good record over in Perth, and they might actually manage to cause an upset.
All right, I'm looking forward to our grand final footy show next week. We might make it too footy orientated, but just enough just to give you a sprinkling of what's going on.
Yeah, and then we'll shut up about it, because then it'll be all over.
You're in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Do you want to hold your own in a sports conversation? Get a better pub quiz score, or just like the sound of two boys talking about ball sports? Then join Ben and Rolly in the locker room on Joy 94.9.
Welcome back into the locker room, 5 minutes to eight. Smithy, we've just had a barrage of messages, and I think it's got something to do with AFL discussion, so maybe we should become an AFL show. The first one is, what do we got? Is Michael going to be in the Full Monty by Stevie B? Are you going to be at Charges in the Flesh?
Sorry, Stevie B.
No?
No chance. All right. No one wants to see that.
Next one?
Can Smitty do it? Sans clothes from Bo. No.
What on earth is that?
People don't even know what I look like. This is just radio. You don't want to see this, folks.
I'm telling you, you've got that smooth voice.
Must be the voice, I know.
Hawks are going to smash them from Adrian and Glenn Ira. Iris or Ira?
Glenn Iris.
Glenn Iris.
And he's an optimist, I think. I don't think they're going to smash them. We've got Go Swannies, Dave from Ringwood. So there's plenty of Swannies supporters in Melbourne.
They used to be part of South Melbourne. Yeah, but Ringwood isn't South Melbourne. I don't know. Yeah, Dave, let us know how you became a Swannies fan, because that's weird living way out there and being a Swannies fan. The next one, I love One Republic, and that's from Trev the Bear. That sounds like a play school character, doesn't it? Sort of Trev the Bear, Big Ted, Little Ted. Is that funny? No, Smithy's just looking. I think I'm funny. All right. What else we got, Smithy?
Hawks are going to win from Jace. Well, there you go. So the weight of opinion would say Hawthorn are going to get up.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Jace, actually, I think.
In your expert opinion.
Yes.
But Andrew has the other view. He says Cats to take the flag. I reckon that's going to be a tall order for the Cats.
Can I ask you, why is it called a flag?
Well, because when you win, you get like a pennant, and it's a big flag.
A pennant?
Yeah, it's like
a big... the team or each person?
The winning team gets a big pennant, and it's like a flag. And the first game of the season, the winning team from last year hoists it.
Oh, like a national flag that they put up the flag?
Yeah, it's literally a flag.
Oh, wow. No other sport does that, do they?
Well, yeah, it's AFL lingo. It's AFL lingo. You just don't pay enough attention, always.
We'll have to next year we're going to have to take him to a few more matches.
I've never seen the flag hoisted. Anyway, can the locker room boys do a strip show? I love Rolly, Smithy and Adam with 8! You know that probably cost them like 3 extra cents in your text message. Tell you what, next time cut it down to 2 and we'll just assume there's another 4 after it.
All these people writing in telling us to take off our clothes.
Yeah, maybe we could be like, you know, Kyle Sanderland's, how you have the in-studio webcam. We could get on the Google Plus or something.
But and then once people see what there is here, they'll say, keep your clothes on, keep your clothes on.
Oh, that's fantastic. You've been in the locker room tonight with Adam, Smithy and Mark.
It's been so much fun.
And it until next week, you're see a better Joy 94.9.
The Locker Room. Come in and get changed. Sports news, views and interviews for our community. Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to a Joycast from Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.